Thought for today. Thought for today. Now, you may wonder why I'm repeating the word thought for today. I have three of the most marvelous geniuses sitting in front of me. But they are like I am sometimes. They get enthused and they're holding a little tape player recorder in front of their mouth, and then they say, "Thought for today," and they're waving their hands all around, and the microphone goes flying off into outer space, and you don't always hear it clearly. I'm saying, hold the microphone about 6 to 8 inches from your mouth and speak clearly, and you will have a beautiful recording. Now, our thought for today is entitled Understanding the Foundation of Health. Understanding the foundation of health. Good question. Before I begin discussing understanding the foundation of health, I would like to tell you what I was just thinking about. I was at the Hermitage, and Ellen said, "Wouldn't it be nice if we had a concrete platform around the Hermitage, like a concrete patio?" Yeah, that'd be nice. But to have a concrete patio would take digging in the first place, which is not the big part. And then it would take bringing the concrete truck in after the forum is placed and spreading it out all nice and smooth and so forth. And I thought, well, concrete was not always available to everybody. People made patios before they had concrete. And they made them out of stone. They made them out of pieces of stone, and they gathered these stones together very carefully so that they would meet beautifully. And then they put sand in between them so it would make a nice flat walking area. And I thought, well, you know, at the Home Depot, they sell these flat concrete stones that are used for stepping stones. But now if I were to place a bunch of these stepping stones close together, almost, well, touching in fact, and just make them all, dig the level to the right level, set them in there, and then put sand in there, and then water them down good, it would probably be quite a nice little patio. A very adequate patio, and it wouldn't have to be built all at once. You just scrape out the dirt and put down as many stones as you have. In fact, I think we already have a whole bunch of stones down by the Citadel garage. And they're red, so then that means we're going to have to paint the building white so that the red and white will be pretty. And then it'll have blue trim. So red, white, and blue, the national colors of the United States for all you citizens out there and me, except Heinz. Heinz, you should become an American citizen too. It's a lot of fun. So then you can have red, white, and blue tile stones. But one stone at a time. You scrape the area away and you have a board so that you can see that you're going down, say, an inch and a half, however thick the stone is, 2 inches. And then you have it all nicely smoothed out. And then you start piling the stone in there, one after another, beautifully, smoothly. You juggle it, make sure that it's nice and level. You put a level on top of it or a stick on top of it. It takes a few minutes to do it, but it's a very creative thing, because for every stone you lay, you have covered a square foot or better, and you say, wow, look at how quickly it's being done. And then when it's all done, you look at it and say, no more lawnmower, no more weeds to pull. A nice place to sit. Heinz shakes like he thinks that's a good idea. But it's a good foundation. It's a beautiful foundation. Simply done. You just prepare the way for it, and then you put it in. And if you want it more, then you prepare a larger area. If you want it to go all the way around the house, then you prepare it all the way around the house. It doesn't have to be done all in one day. Doesn't have to be done in a week or a month. But every day, if you put down a stone or two, in no time at all, You have a beautiful patio, well done, with a perfect foundation under it. You water it nicely, you squirt at it and prepare it nicely, and it's a great looking little patio, or big patio, whichever you want. Now, understanding the foundation of health, what does laying a patio with stones have to do with understanding the foundation of health? Well, the foundation of health is just like laying a patio. First, you have to have the idea. I'm going to put down a patio. I'm not in any rush. First, scrape the dirt and make it all nice for the patio. And then I'll put down one stone. If I don't like it, I'll take it up and scrape a little more, put a little sand down to make it perfect. Every stone has to be smooth on top, so I don't trip over one stone or another, all smooth and nice. I would like to have a body that is whole and perfect. And right now, my body is good, but it's got a few little kinks in it. So, I say, my body is whole and perfect. Now, that's one stone. Now, one stone does not make a patio, you know that. So, you say, my body is whole and perfect. That's two stones. You say, I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. As fast as you can say it, as fast as you can lay it, the patio becomes more and more real with more and more stones that you're putting down. And you're matching the stones, and you're leveling the stones, and you're loving the stone. Each stone has your kiss. Each stone has your fingerprints on it. Each stone has a little bit of sand, a little bit of love. I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. Each word, I am whole and perfect, has a little bit of love, your fingerprints on it, your voice print on it, everything about you on that little statement. I'm whole and perfect. And you keep saying this again and again and again. And you think, will my patio ever be done? Only one square foot at a time. But as you persist, and as you persist in laying each stone perfectly, as you persist in saying, I am whole and perfect, perfectly, if you have doubt in your mind that you're whole and perfect, you're in trouble. If you have doubt in your mind that you can lay a perfect block, but there's a big rock down there, there's a stone down there, and how am I going to get around that stone? Well, you could rent a jackhammer and blast it out. You could also take a chisel and a hammer and little by little chisel the stone away, so that the stone that's projecting above is now level with the rest of the dirt, maybe even a little lower. But you chiseled a little here, but my illness is getting worse, it's getting worse. You chisel a little bit, you chisel a little bit at that rock that won't let you have that perfect layout for your patio, and you chisel. And you chisel, and all of a sudden, hey, it's down. It's down. I got that rock down. That rock was an inch and a half in my way, keeping me from putting it down. Well, I could have chiseled out underneath my patio stone, and it'd be a lot easier because it's concrete. I could have chiseled out underneath there and taken that away, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was the rock that was jutting out below that shouldn't have been there. So I take a chisel and a hammer, and I work at it. Oh, but I'm a lady. I'm a gentle soul. Then take a smaller chisel and a smaller hammer, and take a little longer. Or say to some nice gentleman standing nearby, do you think you could give this a whack with your great big muscles and make this thing just fly off there? I bet you could. And he said, what are you trying to do? Get me to do your work? Well, yes, but more so, I love to see rippling muscles at work. And so he takes off his shirt, which he didn't have to do. And then he takes a chisel in hand, and he says, "Well, ma'am, this is how you do it. First, you make a chip on the top, then a chip on the top, and then you make a tick, tick on the side, and see how it pops right off." And you say to him, "Sir, you're wonderful. Don't work too fast now. You get done too quickly, and I can't watch your muscles ripple." "Well, you have a point there, ma'am. Any more rocks that need chiseling?" You say, "Herb, that is a crock of bull. Now, nobody would ever do a thing like that." It happens every day. It's called living in community and letting the community work for you. When you have a need, you just make it known and it is fulfilled. You're chiseling away. All you have to do is have a short skirt on, stand by the side of the highway, and kick your tire. A man will stop and he'll say, "What's the matter, love?" And you'll say, "I have a flat tire and I'm not strong enough to turn that nut off there." And he says, "Well, let me give it a try." And it's not easy. So he gives it a try. And he knows one way for sure. So he puts the lug wrench on the lug. And then he jumps up in the air and lands on it to help spin it around. Now, you wish him well. You bless him as he works. You don't say, "You silly person, you're going to hurt yourself." You don't say that. You say, "Thank you, sir, that's wonderful." And you see him using good judgment to take off that nut for you. And so he gets it off and he says, "Now, don't get yourself dirty, let me do this for you." And so he takes it all off, puts on the spare tire, and takes the bad one and puts it in the trunk. He says, "Now be sure to stop by the service station and have that fixed right away. You don't want to drive around with no spare." And so you do that, and you have it fixed perfectly. And, you know, it happens. People help you with your tire, and people help you with the stone that's propping up in the middle of your patio. Those are all little obstacles. And they're little obstacles. No one says you have to do them, but you have to be in charge of them because you're making sure they're getting out of there. Now, it doesn't matter if you go and rent a jackhammer. You know, a jackhammer, shakes up. You know, a jackhammer should really help you lose weight. You're going to just joggle up your little tummy like something crazy. And I wonder, do you think it would work? Have you ever tried a jackhammer? You should get a jackhammer sometime just for exercise purposes. I tell you, one thing it would do, it'd make biceps on you. Because holding that jackhammer, and it probably shake up your tummy, shake up your chest, and shake up your buns, and you would be the firmest little critter in town. You'd be all right. Okay, so you're putting in your patio, stone by stone. You're creating the reality of perfect health, stone by stone. Step by step, you're saying, "I am whole and perfect. I am whole and perfect. I am whole and perfect." And you're saying it bit by bit by bit by bit by bit and affirming it and knowing it. Now, how long does this go on? It goes on until the moment comes when you're unconscious. When you're sleeping? No. You are unconscious that you are doing this for a purpose. It becomes your second nature to say, "I'm whole and perfect." It becomes your second nature to sing you're whole and perfect, to think you're whole and perfect. It becomes your second nature just to keep going right around the house and putting the stone in, because the stone are there. And you make a beautiful patio, and then you think, wouldn't it look nice to have a winding path going down through the garden from the patio? Now, wouldn't it be nice to have a little patio in the middle of the garden and have a few benches there where you can sit among the roses and the flowers and enjoy it? Now, wouldn't it be nice to have a little walkway go across the lawn out to the other side of the garden? Wouldn't it be nice to have more gardens and more patios and more things out here. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, hey, wouldn't it be nice to have a body that's whole and perfect, a mind that's whole and perfect? Now, we were talking today about spiritual healing, and we were talking about the concept that if somebody were able to touch you and have you be instantly healed in a spiritual healing, would it be real or would it be not? Well, think about it. Would it be real if someone touched you and you were made whole and perfect, and then you had a similar problem come up and you're sick again? Why would you get sick again? If you had been your own instrument of healing, would you have been sick again? And the answer is no. Because as you are aware of your wholeness, you claim this, you live this, you express this, you are this, and you have no other thought going through your mind but this wholeness. It's just like the person, I tell people, don't ever give me a paintbrush, because I'll paint until the can is empty. And it doesn't matter if it needs painting or not, I'll paint it. I'll paint the boards, then I'll paint the workbench, then I'll paint the cabinets, then I'll paint the floor, then I'll paint the outside of the house as far as it goes. I mean, you know, really, I'm a painting fool. But this is how we are sometimes. We have the paint, so we paint. And when we run out of paint, then we say, is there any more paint? Yes, there's a different color. Okay, so we have a multicolored house. But really, this is the truth about a lot of people. A lot of people have that same attitude. They get going, and they do it because it's fun. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. You should hear me on the path. I am singing to myself, I'm whole and perfect, yes I am, I am. I am whole and perfect, yes I am. And then, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am. I am whole and perfect, yes I am. No, I'm not sick. I have no problems in my body. I have no problems in my mind. I have no problems in my being in whatsoever way. Why am I singing, I'm whole and perfect? Because that's my reality. Why am I singing? I am all knowledge. I am all knowledge. I am all knowledge. Whatever I choose to think about, I know all things about it. I am all knowledge. It's fun. It's fun to think of being all knowledge. And I tell you, not more than 18 minutes ago, I was on my patio outside, looking at it, done. Looking at it, done. And I hadn't even thought about the stones that are behind the Citadel garage. I thought I was going to have to haul them in with the truck. But they're right there. And why not use them? So, maybe I'll stick a white one in the middle of the red ones here and there. Or, you know, just to be a little different. Just to add a little color, a little imagination. Well, what'd you do that for? Well, what would Herbert Marti do? Oh, yes, we must ask the question, what would Herbert Marti do? Well, if Herbert Marti was making a patio, he'd probably make it like a maze. And you have to walk around a circle, you know. So there'd be like a cockle shell curlicue in the middle of the maze. And then what else would he put in the maze? He'd put the never-ending story, the end of the never-ending story, where you look in a little mirror and it says, if you're looking for God, here it is. And you're looking at yourself. Now, charming, beautiful. It wouldn't necessarily make a patio that you could have furniture on, because you'd have the maze activity going on there, or you'd have the never-ending story information going in on there, but who cares? Who cares? Your patio should be as imaginative as you are. If you want to look at some imaginative stuff, look what Heinz has done with his path up there. He thinks that he's a gravestone cutter. So he takes a big stone and he cuts a ohm on it, you know. And then he blackens it so you can be sure to see it. Then he builds the wall. It's like the Roman road. He finds all the perfect stones and lays them out like a drywall mason. You know what a drywall mason is? A mason is one who lays things with cement and mortar. A mason lays brick and fireplaces and everything else in the sand. Well, a drywall mason is the mason who lays it without mortar. Now, we were watching all creatures, great and small. And as we were watching it, we were looking at the houses up in North Wales in England. Not North Wales, it's near Scotland, I believe, somewhere there. And the fence line is made of drywall masonry. Stones are built along the bottom and filled in, and then they're built so that they tear in, and each stone builds up until they get to the top of the fence. And they want the fence so the cows cannot go through it, so the sheep will not go through it, but of course they can never keep the goats from going through it, because the goats hop where man has never thought to go. Now, where do all these stones come from? Do they borrow them from Heinz? No. These stones come out of their meadow. They plow their fields and they hit a stone. So they dig the stone up and they set it aside. And at the end of the day, when they're dead tired, they carry the stones over to the side of the field. They already know they're going to find them. So they carry the stones to the side of the field, and little by little, they lay their dry wall. Well, I looked at some of the houses that they had there too, and believe it or not, some of the houses that they lived in was made with dry wall masonry. That's no cement in between the stones. But the stones are laid in such a perfect way, they lock upon each other, and they make a building block very solid. Now, what's this got to do with understanding the foundation of health? To understand the foundation of health, we have to understand what health is. Health is perfect right order, right action. Health is believing in yourself. Health has nothing to do with the doctor's medicines. Health has nothing to do with shots that we might get or anything else. Health is just your mental attitude. Now, the doctors will tell you this too. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, way back in, 600 BC, sometime or other, he said to his people at that time, now he did not have a lot of experience. He had experience in wanting to help people, but he had not a lot of experience in actually helping people, because that was just beginning. And so he said to his would-be physicians, and it's a good thing for us to follow that same thing today, never give your patients anything that you don't take yourself. Never give your patients anything that you don't take yourself. So if you feel that your patient needs a little bit of strychnine, a little bit of poison, belladonna or something, to help him through a circumstance, because it is very serious, and if he doesn't get well, he's going to die. But you're well. So, according to Hippocrates, you must take a little bit of that belladonna, the little nightshade, you must take a little bit of that strychnine poisoning and test it out. Now, a lot of these are hallucinogenic. They cause you to think things are happening that are not happening. So, sometimes the physician goes a little berserk in the process of testing out the medicines that he wants to give to his patients. But how does a physician really know what medicines to give to a patient? Does the physician know the patient's perfect background? Does the physician know the drugs themselves and all the hang-ups, all the ramifications? No. The physician doesn't. So then the physician says, like Hippocrates, we do our best to keep the patient alive long enough so the patient can heal itself. We do our best to keep the patient alive long enough so the patient will heal themselves. Interesting, huh? That's what it really is. So if we do this, If you and I live according to these principles and keep ourselves well enough, long enough, so that the healing can take place within us, then we're great. Now, my name is Dr. Barley, and I am your metaphysician. And I recommend to you, for whatever ailments you may have at any time, whatever problems you may have at any time, I recommend to you that you say, I am whole and perfect. You say, well, I hurt. I got to have some pain to help my relieve the hurt. Okay. The doctor would give you an aspirin, whatever. All right. You're allergic to aspirin? You do have a problem, don't you? So, if you can, at the outset of any unhappiness in your life, instantly say, I'm whole and perfect. If you can, at the outset of any circumstances in your life that make you feel insecure, say, I like me. If you can, at the outset of any circumstance in anybody else's life in your world, say, I'm whole and perfect, then what will happen to you is that you will wake up whole and perfect. And you'll say, how did that happen to me? Forgetting all about the fact that you said you're whole and perfect. No. We tell our clients, we tell our friends to say, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Every organ, action, function in my body is whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. We are helping them to understand health. Health is just a statement to yourself of who and what you are. It's a statement to yourself of what kind of person you are. It's a statement to yourself saying, I am whole and perfect. Now, this demands a great deal from each of us. It demands a great deal of us to know that we're whole and perfect, to know that we're masters of our world, and to know that we really are responsible. So, I say to you, make these statements now. Make these statements. Let them be the building blocks of your patio, the building blocks of your perfect health. Say them again and again and again and again and again, and let them be manifest in your life. Let them be manifest in your life. I heard a person say the other day, someone said to him, do you believe that stuff that you're saying? I'm whole and perfect. And the other person said, not totally. Well, why do you say it? Well, because I want to believe it. And you think that saying it to yourself is going to make you believe it? And the person said, yeah, I guess so. Now, that person would have been better off if he had never got up that morning. When you say something, you say with conviction, my name is Herb Byerly. My name is May Byerly. I can't say that with conviction. That's my sister. That's not me. I'm Herb Byerly. With that same conviction, I say, I am whole and perfect. I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm Herb Byerly. I'm Herb Byerly. I'm Herb Byerly. Well, now you see, you don't have to do that. You don't have to say you're Herb Byerly, because you're not. But you don't have to say that you are something that you don't believe you are. You say, I am whole and perfect. You say, I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. You make these statements of truth about yourself because they're universal truth. And you draw them forth in your life. You draw them forth in your life, and they are your experience the moment you claim them. Claim it. Know it. Say it for yourself now. Believe it. But don't ever say, I think. I wish. I think it's so. Maybe it is so. But affirm it and know it, that it is so. It is always so and always will be so. And then you are the master. And then you will see results quickly. But otherwise, like your patio, it could be a long time in coming. It could be a long time in coming, stone by stone. And one day you get tired of putting stones down, so you do something different. And then the patio isn't done. Then you come back to the patio again. And then after a number of years, the patio finally gets finished. And your family says, "Dad, look, it's done." And you say, "All the joy is gone out of it. All the joy is gone out of it." Speak your word. Claim the truth. The truth is that you're in charge, that you're the master, that you're the one who determines whether you're going to be whole and perfect now or not. And I would like you to claim an understanding of the foundation of health is the affirmation. Stone by stone in the patio. Statement by statement in your consciousness. And it is done. Thought for today. Understanding the foundation of health. I see all of you whole and perfect right now. Every organ, action, functioning, you're whole and perfect. And you're beautiful. I love you. Okay.